Log Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sangai Nation, welcome here to the show on another Friday afternoon as we continue on with Pacific Northwest Month. But before we jump into the interview with the guest, some show notes. If you are looking for some wrestling, there's a little bit out there tonight. WCWO, as usual, at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana. APW in Royston, Georgia. RCW in Chatsworth, Georgia. AIWF in Boonville, Mississippi. And the NWA in Franklin, Kentucky. Tomorrow night, OCWA in Whiteburg, Georgia. SCW in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. APW in Boiling Springs, South Carolina. The AIWF in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The UIW in Rutherfordton, North Carolina. The NWA in Amarillo, Texas. And RSWF in Memphis, Tennessee tomorrow night. Without further ado, I would like to welcome back to the program Phantasma. Phantasma, thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us here today.
Thank you for having me again, you guys.
Our pleasure. Now, since you last were on the show, you've been a very busy sports entertainer, wrestling in multiple countries, taking on a variety of different challenges, and one of the things I wanted to touch on here today, I believe you have joined a new faction at SCW. Is that confirmed? Have you, in fact, formally joined a faction?
I have. I joined Slamerica at the last show.
What was it about Slamerica that drew you to them? Did they have really great health benefits? Did they have a nice retirement package? Do they serve really great tea and crumpets at their meetings? What drew you to Slum America?
I actually like Ian's entrance music, so if I'm tagging with him, I get to use it too.
Very, very interesting.
Thanks.
Well, you, in addition to wrestling here in the United States, have also made your way up into Canada. You were there just a couple of weeks ago. What's it been like wrestling in the great country of Canada?
It's pretty nice because everyone's very welcoming and will give you honest advice on your match. So I learn a lot when I get to go up there, and I like going up there.
The last time you were up there, I believe, was for a Michelle Starr's all-women's show. When you do shows that are all-women, which is completely the opposite of a standard show pretty much, how do you feel you need to wrestle differently at all in order to give the audience a little bit something different from what they're accustomed to? For the whole rest of the show?
I feel like I have to prove myself a little bit more because wrestling has pretty much always been a male-dominated sport, and over the last few decades it's been getting more popular with women. So I feel like we still have to show that we can do the sport just as well as the guys, and especially over in Canada where wrestling is, like, important. No, I have to really train a lot before I go up there and then put on a really decent match. So pretty much I just have to work harder, but I get a lot of good advice there from them, and the girls are always really polite before I go out.
Since you are wrestling a pretty hectic schedule, you're wrestling several times per month and a variety of promotions. Obviously, you have to be in good ring conditioning. What's the current workout regimen like for you in order to maintain ring shape?
Well, I haven't been training as much as I would like to because of circumstances and the season, but usually the place I train at, Lucha Volcanica, they have training both days on the weekends, and it's just the weekends, so I go to that. I also train with whatever I can before the shows, especially at places like PMPW. CC, the promoter, always lets me train with him before the show. So really any training I can get in, plus outside gym time, of course.
Obviously, in wrestling, diet is also something that most successful wrestlers pay attention to. Do you have a particular diet regimen that you're on currently in order to maintain that ring shape? Because you seem to be in phenomenal condition.
Oh, thank you. I do, actually. It mainly consists of green tea. I'm not going to lie. Really anything other than that, like, I don't know. I do whatever I want, but, like, I'm fairly healthy, I feel.
You mentioned the green tea. Lots of wrestlers, after their match, like to have a nice antioxidant tea to help kind of cleanse the system a little bit. Do you have a special tea regimen, especially for days where you wrestle as opposed to other days where your tea intake may be a little bit different?
Kind of depends. In the summer, I drink a lot of green tea, like I said, although I drink that year-round. But normally in the winter after matches, I drink spiced teas because it's cold.
And do you have a particular favorite spiced tea you would recommend to some sports entertainers for their antioxidant tea needs?
I tried this cinnamon apple tea the other day, and it sounded horrible, but it's actually really good, so I'd recommend that, I guess.
Very nice. I'm making its way around the sports entertainment circles. Several sports entertainers have been trying a sweet ginger cookie Rubio tea. Have you had an opportunity to try this latest sports entertainment fad?
I have not, but it sounds quite interesting.
It's becoming very popular in the sports entertainment world. I know several that have sampled it. All rave reviews.
I have not sampled it, so I guess I'm failing at being a wrestler. That's okay, though.
Well, I recommend trying it. Even wrestlers from as far away as Idaho have been drinking this. They love it.
Idaho's right next to Washington. But, all right.
Well, it's still kind of far. You referenced Lucha Volcanica and its training. You started out your career training with the Lucha Volcanica group. A lot of the promotions where you work is more the American and the Canadian style of professional wrestling. Is it a hard adjustment for you to go from the Lucha style to the American style and back, going from opponent to opponent?
It is, because a lot of them aren't either very well at adopting or just don't want to, and I'm still learning on both sides. So I get a lot of opponents that are really impatient with me, but at the same time, I get a lot that are patient and teach me. I think it was August or September when I wrestled with Jimmy Flame, and he taught me a lot. And I've also learned a lot working with Adam X. And I get a lot of people that are patient enough to teach me, but there are places where I get made fun of for doing lucha or just not knowing what I'm doing. But I do my best to adapt, and I've been getting a lot better at switching between right and left and still incorporating my lucha style.
And the lucha style, of course, usually a lot faster paced, a lot more aerial in its offense than the American and Canadian, Japanese styles, what have you. Do you have a favorite venue that you perform that makes it easier for you to wrestle the style that you want?
Really anywhere Lucha Volcanica performs, or even Girls Gone Wrestling, because I usually work up there with La Avispa, who's somebody who also works at Lucha Volcanica, and she's taught me a lot. So I like working with her because she understands the style. Otherwise, I really like working at SCW as well because the fans accept the fact that I wrestle a different style, and so does the majority of the roster. So it's pretty interesting there. Everyone's usually pretty intrigued by what I do. Sometimes they're not.
Speaking of SCW, the last time they were at the Tribal Gym there in Paulsbo, you won the 6-person tag team match, but you took what some people say was the scariest thing that had ever happened at SCW. You cross-bodied the floor. Can you tell the fans listening today what the injuries were and how you've recovered from such?
So a lot of people figured I either had a concussion or broken orbital bone or broken cheekbone or all of them. But I luckily didn't have any of them. I just had a really bad headache for a couple of days. But I've had concussions, so I know what that feels like, and I definitely didn't have one. But I did have a very black face and eye for a few days. Actually, more like a few weeks. But it was pretty fun explaining it to people what happened that aren't wrestling fans.
Well, as someone that did the same basic spot and dented the floor, I had the broken orbital socket, the concussion, and a brain contusion, as well as a subdermal hematoma and multiple skull fractures. I recommend taking that spot out of your arsenal.
Yeah, I don't plan on cross-bodying the floor again. It wasn't very fun. It was pretty interesting, though, because you were the ref in that match, and I didn't really realize what had happened until, like, a few minutes after I landed, because I saw you put the X up saying that the match, someone got hurt, and I was like, oh, that's not good. Oh, right, I got hurt. That's why it's not good.
It was very not good, and despite the fact that my back was turned to that particular spot because I was busy counting pinfalls, checking for submissions, when I heard the smack of flesh hitting cement floor, well, not a cement floor at that venue, it was a hardwood floor, but instinctively I knew what happened. I wasn't too pleased that you were trying to copy that part of my career. I was flattered you were trying to copy something of mine. Not so much that it was that exact spot.
Well, I thought I might be able to do it better, but luckily I didn't, and only ended up with a broken, or black face, not broken anything.
I dented a cement floor. I don't know how you can do it better than that.
Exactly. I tried again, but I don't want to.
Yeah, I would prefer you did not, because not a fan of the heart dropping down to my liver.
Aw, I care.
Maybe a pinch. It was a really nice floor. It's not that old. I didn't want to see it damaged.
Oh, I thought it might be fun to see it damaged, so my bad.
Now, speaking of refereeing that match, you've been to enough promotions and enough different places by now that you've been in there with a number of referees, I'm sure some good, some bad. Who are some of the better referees you've been in there with that promoters should look at to book on their shows more often?
Well, fine guy, you are a pretty decent ref. But I do also, like, at Girls Gone Wrestling, the first time I went up there in October, our ref for the match was Nick Price, and he was pretty cool. He was funny. And then there's another ref. He is a ref in training, I guess you could say, at SCW. But his name is Odaju, and he's currently training, and he's doing really well as a ref, I feel.
For his age, he is doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
We have a game on the show we like to play. It's a little bit of a psychological game. We call it Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk. I will give you a series of two options. The one which you prefer is the correct answer. Are you prepared to play a round of Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk?
I am.
All right, here we go. Four-side ring or six-side ring?
Four-side.
British wrestling or Japanese wrestling?
Japanese.
Boots or shoes and kick pads?
Kick pads.
Science or history?
Science.
Albertsons or QFC?
QFC.
December or July?
August.
Pin or submission?
Submission.
Randy Orton or Randy Taylor?
Randy Taylor.
The final one, Pro Wrestling Illustrated or the Figure Four newsletter?
Depends on what issue. I like PWI's 500, but I kind of like Figure 4 better.
All right. I'm sure Brian Alvarez will appreciate that.
You're welcome, Brian.
There you go, Chico. A little bit of a plug. No charge to you. Now, in your career, like we've been saying, you've been around a lot of places, which also means you have worked with a lot of bookers and a lot of people in the creative end of pro wrestling. Just from your own observations thus far in your career, whom would you say has some of the best minds for professional wrestling that you've come across?
I would have to say CeCe from PNPW, just from the places that I've been at, either him or Michelle Starr, because they both do consistent storylines and train with their roster and do whatever they can to make everyone at their best while still trying to put on a good show for the fans.
Well, at this time, QT is standing by. And I know that QT has some questions, so Thez, help you as I pass things along to him for a bit.
Well, thank you, Sunday. Hello, Phantasma.
Hi, QT.
Phantasma, we usually start the second part of the show with a question. What's the hardest knife-edge chop you've received from a Northwest wrestler? And is it true that the hardest one you received was from Randy the Pimp Taylor?
I have thankfully not been chopped by Pimp, and I would like to keep it that way. I don't know. A lot of people are scared to chop me because I'm a girl. I don't know. Crashella once chopped me in the throat. That was pretty painful. But as for a correct chop, La Avispa at Volcanica, she's pretty decent at them.
Oh, okay. All right. Are there any truth to the rumors that you sent in an application to Randy the Pimp to be a Lucha Pimpette in 2017?
I have not yet, but maybe I will now.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
all
yeah.
Right. Well, Phantasma, I saw your YouTube video entitled Piper Palooza, Phantasma Equis versus Gringo Loco. In your opinion, should Sign Guy have worn a lucha mask even though he was a referee?
I mean, it would have been interesting if he would have.
Now, if he would have chosen to wear a mask, would this mask have been bought on eBay from a store in Juarez, Mexico? Would Sign Guy have gone that route?
Knowing Sign Guy and him being slightly insane, yeah, he probably would have.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Phantasma, Gringo Loco charged at you like a bull in the Pamplona, Spain bullfights at the 429 mark in the match. Like a matador of the golden age of Pamplona bullfights in the 1970s, you sidestepped his rush and he went slamming shoulder first into the ring post. While he was collapsed in the corner, you ran across the ring, put your right foot between his shoulder blades, and vaulted over the top rope to land on the ring apron. You then proceeded to climb to the top turnbuckle after you slapped him, and at the 4:43 mark, you launched yourself at him in a flying body press. My question is, can you give me the literal translation in Spanish for flying body press that you executed at the 4:43 mark of the match?
That would be a plancha.
A plancha. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A plancha. Wow, very good. Okay. Have you yourself ever watched any films of the Pamplona bullfights in
no,
Pamplona, Spain?
I'm actually kind of scared of them, so I have not.
Oh, all right. Have you ever participated in the running of the bulls?
Considering I've never been to Spain, I have not.
Would you consider having a northwest running of the calves through a suburb of Seattle, Washington? Running of the calves.
Yeah, actually, that'd be pretty cool. I like calves.
Oh, okay. All right, well, you got the pinfall win over Gringo Loco at the 10-minute and 3-second mark. In your opinion, should this win have gotten you ranked number one in the Turnbuckle Turmoil's top 9 7/8 Northwest Weekly Wrestler rankings for that week, and have you ever been ranked number one?
I've never been ranked number one, but I've been ranked a couple of times, I believe, at least somewhere on it. I wouldn't say number one, but I don't know, maybe. It was a pretty difficult win considering Gringo outweighs me by like 3 billion pounds.
Yes, he's no stranger to the extra tacos at La Promonita's. Yes. Okay. Well, Phantasma, do you see a time where yourself and Polaris Jr. will have a mixed Lucha Libre tag match against El Sonico and Otis the Gimp at La Promonita's?
I would love to do that because Polaris is pretty fun to work with, and well, I've been working with Sonico since I started training, so any chance I get to work with him, I'll take it. He's talented and fun to dropkick.
Oh, he's fun to dropkick. Okay. Have you ever planted both of your feet in the middle of his chest from a standing position with no running start?
I wouldn't say chest. I've definitely kicked him in the stomach before on accident and felt slightly bad for it, but I don't know. I'm 5 feet tall, so it's kind of hard to straight up kick someone without running.
Oh, okay. Which brings it to mind the question, what is your personal record in the high jump?
Not very high.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, if you and Polaris Jr., in theory, lost to a tag team comprised of Otis the Gimp and Crashella, would you have the commissioner bestow upon them honorary lucha status?
I don't know, because they're not lucha, so it'd be really hard to establish it as that, but I don't know. I think it'd be interesting to see how the match would turn out.
Oh, okay. Yes, so would I. Yes. Crashella is kind of in a semi-lucha status anyway. Yes.
Crashella's kind of scary.
Yes. But she did give Sign Guy a lap dance at La Problemita's when he was not in referee status. I found that very refreshing. Yes.
Oh, poor Sign Guy. I'm sorry.
Well, Phantasma, I was there at La Problemita's in early December when you battled Adam Haugen for the SCW Unlimited Heavyweight title. Can you tell our Sign Guy, Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners, if the words, "I love you," were uttered at any time during the match?
I mean, I may be dating him and all, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to do my best in a match against him.
At any time, could you have received a blow to the head and in a semi-concussed state, could you have uttered these words because you thought Otis the Gimp was in the ring?
Well, I don't really like Otis, so probably not.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Phantasma, the motion picture Nacho Libre, starring Jack Black as priest-turned-luchador, was inspired by the story of Father Sergio Gutierrez Benitez, a real-life Catholic priest who wrestled as Fray Tormenta to make money for his church. My question is, are there any truth to the rumors that you and Adam X are planning to film a Lucha Libre 2 in Tacoma, Washington, with Christopher Ryzik playing the parts of Fray Tormenta?
I don't like Ryzik either, so probably not him, but I don't know. Maybe we'll find someone else to cast. Maybe Sign Guy.
Oh, okay, maybe. Whoa, you'd like Sign Guy to play the parts of Father Fray Tormenta or the lucha wrestler?
Maybe. He can, speak Spanish.
I'm not sure about that. I'll have to find out. Okay.
Okay.
All right, well, Phantasma, Sign Guy asked you a question earlier about Michelle Starr and women's wrestling in Canada. Most recently, the Razor Ramones, who comprise of Rex Sharp, Alomar, and Sean Critney, and are heavily influenced by the Ramones, wrote a song called The Ballad of Flapjack Norton. A real-life wrestler who ate 198 flapjacks. My question is, inspired by the album the Razor Ramones put out called Rocket to Rusev, will you try the Ballad of Flapjack Norton as your entrance theme at your next event at La Problemita's?
I just might. I'm always looking for new entrance music to confuse the fans with, so that might work.
Oh, okay. Well, Phantasma, I encourage you to go on to the Razor Ramones Facebook site and look up this video called The Ballad of Flapjack Norton.
I sure will.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Well, Phantasma, Northwest wrestler Buddy Highway recently has entered strongman competitions in the Northwest. He recently set a deadlift record of a rumored 450 pounds, which is very close to 10 45-pound plates. My question is, do you yourself do any deadlifting or squats in your workout routine?
I primarily do squats. I'm not going to admit how much I can lift because it's not very much. But I'm also only 90 pounds, so I feel I have an excuse. I'm not a huge fan of deadlifts, but I still do them once or twice a week.
Do you think you could out deadlift myself, QT Vopes, by 2 45-pound plates?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was pretty straightforward. Okay, all right. We may have to have a deadlifting contest one day at La Problemita's, especially if some guy can put in a word for me. Yes.
I was afraid you were going to say that, but okay.
Oh, all right. All right, well, Phantasma, I'd like to expand a little bit on Sign Guy's Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk. Are you ready for my some of my Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk?
Of course.
Oh, all right. Muckleteel Ferry or Bremerton Ferry?
Bremerton.
Oh, okay. Have you yourself ever asked the captain to toot the horn while crossing Puget Sound?
I have not. I tried once, but I was told to get out of the pilot's room.
Whoa, wow, all right. Very anarchistic. Okay, very good. All right, lemon fruit pie or chocolate fruit pie?
Lemon.
Lemon, okay. Goldust or Booker T?
Booker T.
World War II battleship or newly launched Zumwalt destroyer?
World War II.
Oh, okay, World War II battleship, okay. Can you yourself name the World War II battleship Iowa class that is stationed at Pearl Harbor next to the USS Arizona?
No, I can't.
Oh, okay, that would be the USS Missouri. Missouri. Okay. Okay. Well, Phantasma, President-elect Donald Trump recently gave Ric Flair a position in his cabinet, something about sports fairness and competition. Are you very satisfied that this election went to Donald J. Trump, that the first president of the United States to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame and the first president in the United States to survive a Stone Cold Stunner from Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Actually, I really can't stand Trump, but I think it's funny that Stone Cold Stunnered him. I watch the video all the time.
Oh, okay. Well, I find it refreshing that he will be the first president of the United States to have that done to him and survive.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
Plus, he gave Vince McMahon a clothesline. That was pretty nice. Yes.
That was.
Oh, okay. All right, well, Phantasma, can you tell us what your biggest event of the new year, 2017, is on your schedule, and will it indeed be at La Problemita's in Bremerton, Washington?
I'm sure it will be at Problemita's, but I don't know what it is yet because I have not been taking bookings for 2017 just yet.
Oh, just yet, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, all right. All right, well, I will turn it back over to Sign Guy, and I will try to get going to make connections about filming a Lucha Libre number 2 in Bremerton, Washington. I will get going on this.
Yay.
Oh, okay. Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. And for the record, I would have went with Osiris at Juggernaut Gear for any gear-making need I might have.
Yeah.
He's the best in the world. Well, speaking of that, Phantasma, you have some pretty nice ring gear that you wear on a regular basis. But taking yourself out of the equation, whom would you say has the best wrestling gear out there right now?
Right now, that's hard because I'm intrigued by a lot of gear. When I was at Girls Gone Wrestling in October, I was very intrigued by Melody Mangler's gear. So I like hers. I don't know if it counts, but I quite like Asuka's gear.
Yeah, we could count that.
Okay.
And one of the things that has happened to you in the not too distant past, when you were at the final Paul's Bow Tribal Gym show, way before the infamous crossbodying of the floor, you were also in a battle royal, and the scourge of my existence, the number one enemy on my enemy list, that idiot Darth Carta, seemed to be going after you for some reason. Can you tell us what was up with you and that idiot Darth Carta?
I was just trying to get back in the ring, and she comes up and starts pushing me, so I headbutted her, and we both fell off the apron. Her fault.
So Darth Carta hasn't been seen by you since then. He's not, like, following you down the street, hiding behind palm trees, hasn't jumped you in the ring, nothing of that nature.
No, that's a smart idea.
Probably. I hate that idiot. He was lucky I was busy in the back reading the rule book.
That is. Oh, you read rule books? That must be why you're such a smart ref.
Well, sometimes I forget what comes after two, so I have to go to the rule book to refresh it.
Yeah, just stop in the middle of the match and go look up what number comes after two.
No, because if Bob Hardy's there, he counts that out for me.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever paid attention to Bob Hardy. He's always counting and letting the referee, next comes this number. Next comes this number. It's very helpful.
It is. I like Bob. He's quite a character. Talks a lot, though.
And he is an SCW Hall of Fame member.
He is. I was there for that. It was quite interesting.
It really was. He also has saved more sports entertainers than penicillin.
This is true.
Now, speaking of fans, you still are fairly young in your career and in your life for that matter. The first time someone came up to you and wanted an autograph from you, what was going through your mind?
It was this little girl, and she was really sweet. She was wearing a pink Volcanica shirt, and she asked me for a picture with her, and I forgot I had wrestled that day, and I was like, why? Oh, that's right. I wrestled today. And I took a picture with her. She was really cool, though. She ended up finding me on Instagram and tagging me in the picture, which was pretty interesting.
That must have taken a little bit of effort to be able to search out your Instagram and go to that kind of trouble. When the fans support you like that and they show that much interest in you this early in your career, what does that mean for you personally?
It's nice because it shows that I'm impacting people in some sort of way to the point where they want something to do with me. And it's always nice knowing that somebody cares when a lot of people in the back don't think anyone does.
On the flip side of that, in the history of professional wrestling, there's been at least one, possibly as many as two, creepy stalker fans, especially when it comes to the females in the business, without having to put anyone specifically on blast, what's the creepiest moment you've had involving fans so far?
So, it was like 3 years ago. I hadn't even debuted yet. And this fan, I don't remember his name, but he found me on my personal account, not even my wrestling one, just my personal one. He's like offering to buy me gear and fly me out to LA to have me wrestle there, and he's like, I'm 15, go away, I'm not even debuted yet. And how did you find this account? It was pretty creepy. So he's blocked on anything, but I've also heard that he's harassed other female wrestlers, so that's a little bit better, kind of. That sounds
Was it Stomp and Steve? Because that sounds like something Stomp and Steve would do.
No.
Come on.
Yeah, it could have been one of his other personalities. Now, speaking of Stomp and Steve, he's a collector of female sports entertainers' autographs. He might have one or two or six or seven or a dozen of yours in his collection. Is there any merchandise out there that fans of yours can purchase outside of the 8x10s?
No. I pretty much have pictures for sale, and that would be that. I used to have shirts for sale, but the shop or the website I was using closed down. Pretty sure it wasn't a legal site, but, you know, that's okay.
Apparently it is not okay, or else they'd still be in business.
Thanks, fine guy.
Just want to be accurate. Well, we have a second game on the show that we play, another little psychological game called Word Association. I will throw out the names of some people that you have come across in your career. First word that comes into mind to describe them is your answer. Are you prepared for a round of Word Association?
I am.
Here we go. El Sonico.
Obnoxious.
Bad blood.
Different.
DeMarcus James.
Oh, I can't say that. Obnoxious.
Kelly Klein.
Sweet.
Sunny Days.
Southern.
Annie Raitt.
Fun.
Casey Carlisle.
Sweet.
Kevin Sullivan.
Bottle opener.
Bob Hardy.
Irritating, but okay.
CC Poison.
80s.
The final one, Michelle Starr.
Pink.
Now, another little underrated job in wrestling, one that promoters don't often stress enough, I think, is the job of the ring announcer. You've been on shows with great ring announcers as well as bad ones. Whom out there do you think is the best ring announcer?
I really like Dimitri. He like comes up to SCW pretty often. He's interesting. And he says my name right. That never happens. And I like Stephanie, I can't say her last name, from ASW or Girls Gone Wrestling. She's talented and she's really sweet. Or Cody Whistler at 321. He's a character.
If they struggle with the name, it sometimes helps to say Eckies Like the Beer. It worked for Dimitri. Yeah.
Exactly. I just tell them to call me by X because that's the name I'm going for, but, you know, that's okay. I'll take whatever they call me. Unless it's completely wrong.
Yeah, I'm sure you get some strange variations.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you wrestle in front of not only the American fans, but the Canadian fans, do you notice a particular difference as far as what they like and what they don't like as a general rule?
They are definitely more intrigued by wrestling. I've noticed that they, like, they'll pop for any lucha stuff I do, but they're definitely more into straight wrestling, I've noticed. But they're still respectful regardless of whatever you do.
Do Do you find yourself having to change what you normally do when you go to Canada as opposed to wrestling in the lower 49?
Yeah, I have to definitely plan psychology a little bit better because in Lucha, psychology is not your main concern, but up there you'll get torn apart if you have no psychology, so you definitely have to be a little bit more careful with that.
I was in North Carolina fairly recently, and there is a brand new Lucha promotion in North Carolina. I believe it is the only Lucha promotion currently running in North Carolina. Lucha Libre is really catching on, and you're seeing more Lucha-specific groups opening. Do you think that Lucha Libre is something that 5 to 10 years down the road might be the dominant style in this country as well?
I don't think it's really going to get to be the most dominant. It'd be great if it did, but I just don't think it's ever going to be the most dominant just because of the history of wrestling and American Pro has had up here. But it would be pretty nice if it could get that big. But I personally just feel like it's always going to be second to American, unfortunately.
Lucha Underground unquestionably has helped with the visibility and the notoriety of Lucha Libre as a whole. Are you a big fan of what Lucha Underground is doing?
I am. I think, you know, they bring in as much talent as they can, and I think it's always fun to watch.
Fairly recently, they had someone around your size and your gender win the Lucha Underground Championship. Sexy Star defeated Mazanataz to win that title. When you look at someone like Sexy Star, who is doing the style of wrestling that you like to do at a similar size, does that inspire you that you could also get on to the national companies and not only dominate a women's division potentially, but also just be the top performer, period, for that company?
I would love to, you know, get to that someday. I really just want to wrestle for as long as I can, where I can, because I love it. But it is nice knowing that women in general, but also smaller women like Sexy Star, are finally getting the recognition they deserve, because I feel like that's something that's been lacking for so long.
Now, Lucha Underground, from its very start, has incorporated not only Sexy Star, of course, who one of the top performers there, but people like Ivelisse and a handful of others into the heavyweight title picture without really focusing on their gender. You often wrestle either in mixed tag team matches or against male competitors in a lot of the places where you wrestle. Do you think that promoters are seeing what Sexy Star is doing and seeing what Ivelisse is doing, and that's making it easier for someone just on local independence be able to do that as well? Or do you think that there's not really a correlation?
I actually have been compared to Sexy Star twice now, both times by Ron Von Hess. But I think it's also due to the fact that there is no, like, I don't want to say none, because there's a few, but there's just not very many women dressers that can make it out to shows a lot of the time. Like, I've worked Sunny Days, La Vispa, Annie Richards. No, I've worked with a lot of them, but it's, at the same time, it's just there's still not enough to have a full women's division. I've seen Annie work guys. I've seen Sunny work guys numerous times. And La Vispa, that's just, me and her have only had 2 matches against each other. And other than that, she's worked all guys, aside from me. But I think it's just due to the fact that there's just not many women up here that are into wrestling, but I think it's growing.
You bring up Annie Ray. Now, you have wrestled with her and against her. To my knowledge, you have not been in a match that she has officiated. And if I've said it once, I've said it at least 37 and a half times. Annie Raith is the best referee in the Pacific Northwest. Do you think promoters are forgetting that she is the top official in the Northwest and she can actually do pretty much any role in professional wrestling? Do you think she might be maybe the most underrated performer we have in this region?
I feel like she is extremely underrated. I talk with her a lot, and we hang out a lot, so we always talk about how we feel, and I can see that she's underrated because she does a lot for herself and for her career, and I think most of the time it's just overlooked. Because she can do everything. She's in a family and everything, so I feel bad for Annie a lot of the time, and she is overlooked.
I would concur. She's also a writer of a great book available for your gift-giving needs this holiday season.
She is.
Oh, did you happen to get a copy of said book?
Not yet. I'm planning on it.
Makes a great Hanukkah gift. Just going to put that out there.
Yes.
Now, speaking of Annie's book, and we talked about your merchandise earlier, merchandising is something that isn't stressed as much here as it is in other parts of the country, but merchandising is an avenue for wrestlers to make money and try to establish a bigger fan base. What are some of the more interesting merchandising ideas that you've seen on gimmick tables in this area?
I've seen people sell DVDs of a compilation of their matches, and I've seen people sell, I've seen a couple women wrestlers actually do this, but sell like Barbies dressed to look like their character or their gimmick, you know? It's actually pretty interesting. I've seen a lot of interesting merchandise.
Now, you've wrestled primarily in the state of Washington as well as BC, and you have traveled down to Oregon quite a bit. Are there any places either here in the United States or up in Canada that you've never been to yet that you would most like to wrestle?
I would love to get to really anywhere I can, but promotions I hear a lot about and have seen matches from are like DOA or ECCW, WCWC, just a lot of interesting promotions that I've seen a lot of, you know, people I've trained with or worked with before go over to, and after I get some more training in, I'd like to go over to one of those sometime.
Outside of our region, do you have your sights set on anywhere particular as a goal?
My biggest goal, and always has been, will be Japan, because I just love how wrestling is over there and how it's such a big deal, and that's just always been one of my goals, is to get there, probably my biggest goal actually. So anywhere in Japan really.
Would that include the DDT promotion where you could make one of my dream matches, Phantasma versus Yoshihiko, a reality?
Yeah. Why not?
All right. Now, I don't really have any dreams because I achieved my only dream in life of going to Gouge, but, you know, that would be something very nice I would look forward to at least.
I'll look into it for you.
How would you counter the offensive flurry of Yoshihiko, do you think?
I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out, though, how I would do it.
It really would be. It really would be. Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show today, and I want to give you plenty of time. So if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything you want, your social medias, your upcoming appearances, your favorite tea shop, anything in the world, the floor is all yours.
Well, SCW is having a show on New Year's Eve, just like many shows are. So I will be at that one December 31st, special start time at 5, but probably going to start at 6 or 7. Lucha Volcanica and 321 Battle will also be having a show the night before at Evolve Fitness. I won't be at that one wrestling. I'll probably go to watch it and see everyone, but I believe that one starts at 8. And it's 321 Lucha, so that'll be interesting. And as for social media, I am PhantasmaX on everything, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. But for Instagram, I'm just PhantomX. And as for my favorite tea shop, I like this one in Kent. I don't know what it's called, but it's really good. So go to all the tea shops in Kent until you find it.
Can you tell us what the color of the paint inside is so they know they have the right one?
I think it's red, but I'm probably wrong. I'm usually wrong, so. I go there a lot.
Interesting.
You're there.
All right, so fans, if you're anywhere near Kent, Washington, hit every tea shop there is until you see one that is painted red or possibly some other color.
Yep. Not that hard. There's only like 50 tea shops in Kent. You can do it.
There you go. Well, Phantasma, it has been a pleasure as usual to have you on the show. Best of luck to you on the 31st. We'll have to see how this new alliance between yourself and Slamerica works out for you. And best of luck as you continue on in 2017 with your career.
Thank you so much, Fine Guy, and thanks for having me again.
Our pleasure. Well, fans, 31st of December, Phantasma will be back in action at La Poblanitas, 6 and Callow in Bremerton, Washington. She might have the Razor Ramones Ballad of Flapjack Norton as her theme music by then. We'll have to see how that progresses. You never know. And we will be back with you on Sunday afternoon. Sunday we have Diafula Debashi on the program. Diafula will be returning on Sunday to Turnbuckle Turmoil. Should be fascinating with him on the show. And we will talk to you then.
Bye.
Once a man is left.